Match Tennis Podcast. This week we are joined by both Jack and Luke. So again, full house. So hello, guys. I think we have you all here now. Do we have you both, Jack and Luke?
Good evening, Charlie.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, guys. How are we all? Are we doing well?
Okay, how about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Hopefully you're feeling slightly less COVID-y than last week. We will obviously go over our tips of last week. We had a very, very busy week on social media once again, focusing on obviously the Adelaide and Sydney events. I think we were fairly successful with that. We did pretty well. But Luke will obviously take us through a recap. But first things first, I just wanted to kind of outline what we're talking about this week. It's the opening week of the Grand Slam in Australia, the Australian Open. And obviously there's been a lot of controversy with regards to players being vaccinated, unvaccinated and gaining entry. None more kind of publicly than Novak Djokovic, but we'll go through that again moving forwards. But today we're going to do exactly what we do every other podcast, talk through a couple of highlights of the week, talk through an accumulator, so value picks that we think are going to win, and then maybe talk about who we think has a chance of winning the event overall and going deep. With Grand Slams, because they run over 2 weeks, we will obviously focus again halfway through on how it's all going. But obviously I am actually moving to Australia during around about when we do the second week recap. So we might just need to jiggle about the time frames. But obviously last week our feeder events for the Australian Open over in Adelaide and Sydney. Luke, do you have a bit of a recap for us as to how that's all?
Of course, yes. I'll start with the bad stuff. Accumulators in the past, but this but personally that I did. I went against Jack. I backed Milman and he got destroyed 2-2. I can't remember. I had another pick that got I was Giron got destroyed by Thompson. And then the other pick, Harris, was close, to be fair. He had match point. But all of our podcast hackers lost. Then we produced quite a lot of articles. It was all Charlie this week. Our Tuesday article lost, sadly. Lloyd Harris had match point, but lost. However, came back with both articles on Wednesday and Thursday coming in. So a total of about 6.5 units combined over those two articles. And then the article today just missed out by one match again. It was Dan Evans losing out in three. So in terms of accumulator picks, we were 0.48 units. That doesn't sound like a lot, but we flash back to last week, we were down 6.8 units. So it's an improvement. You're close to having even more profit. Overall for picks, we won 12, lost 5. And then the Munar Milman match, I didn't count because we went each way on that. Outrights, mixed results to say the least. For TFO, who lost in the first round, I also went for, I think, went for Lloyd Harris, who lost in the first round, and who lost in the first round. We all went for Evans to win Sydney. He lost out in a final against Karatsev. However, Charlie's wild card of Andy Murray has made it to the final in Sydney, where he plays Karatsev. So profit-wise, we're talking either 3.5 units if he loses the final, or 13.5 units if he wins the final. So a 10-unit swing there. And then Charlie's other pick was Monfils, who withdrew, so that's void. So overall for the podcast, we were, well, it depends on the Murray result. If Murray loses, we're down units, so breaking even basically. And if Murray wins, we're up 9.98 units, so that would be pretty tasty. I'll just end with the tips it passes quickly. Me and Jack both went for the same one, which is Harris minus 2.5 games, which lost. So that takes me to one win, one loss. And Jack moved to no wins and two losses. So work to be done there. And similarly, Charlie went for TFO minus 1.5 games, which also lost. So Charlie also moves to zero wins, two losses.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. So so overall, I'm putting this down as another really positive week, starting to really get some, lots of quality selections in our accumulators. And moving forwards, we're getting a grasp of who is in form and who isn't. I personally felt like by the end of this week, I'd really got a bit of a read as to who is in form, who's playing well on these quick outdoor hard acrylic courts. And that's going to be the case at the Aussie Open. Hot temperature, hot climate, really fast, slick acrylic outdoor courts, known for being one of the quickest events on tour. And as I said before, Djokovic today confirming his withdrawal from the event. So it's pretty wild. Top seed out blows the whole thing wide open. So I don't think we're going to bother talking too deeply about kind of the events of last week. Luke's kind of already touched on it. Really impressive week from Aslan Karatsev, which is something to take note of as we move forward into this week coming forwards. The Grand Slam first rounds. There were big question marks over him after his performances last season, but I think he's kind of cast those aside a little bit by just how he played today and this week in general. Obviously, Andy Murray, really impressive week, making the final. Could always win the title as well, and that's obviously great for an ex-Slam winner in Murray to be performing at this kind of level. It shows that he's not somebody to be overlooked for the week. And there's plenty of other names, some of whom haven't even competed in these warm-up events. So it's not worth dwelling all too heavily on that. But just to know that our podcast picks have actually been fairly successful in these kind of Australian Open feeder events. And that does take us into the Australian Open then this week. As I said before, first week of the Slam, we will touch base again halfway through to see how everything's going. Otherwise, it's a long time without kind of having our kind of input. But I suppose just before we touch on what our selections are and who we think is going to have a good event and whatnot, I think we'll just have a bit of a discussion about the event and maybe a couple of the matches that excite us. So feel free to obviously chat about kind of the Djokovic controversy if you want to, but I think that we've largely covered just that he's not playing, and that really blows the draw open. So either of you two, any matches that really catch your eye that you really want to talk about, open the floor.
I'll start then. One that jumped out from me when I first saw the draw was Cameron Norrie against Seb Korda. I think that's probably one of the worst first rounds Cam Norrie could have asked for, really, being a seed. Korda is very dangerous. He's got a huge game, huge serve, huge forehand. Had a pretty good season last year. Really deep in Miami, I think it was, a couple of other events. Did win at Wimbledon, actually, I think. I think he made the second week there. Correct me if I'm wrong. He hasn't had the best of starts. Came with three losses. However, that was against, lost in straight to Zverev, and then I think he lost in three to both Felix Auger-Aliassime and Taylor Fritz. Obviously very strong opponents. And I think all three of them are ones to watch this year. But yeah, a tad concerning for Norrie. Korda hasn't played any warm-up events. And yeah, I think this is cool. I think it's going to be a very good match. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that match actually jumped off the surface for me as well. I actually said this to Jack. We were having a bit of a chat over some PlayStation the other day. Yeah, we both said that's an absolute stinker. I don't think it's good for either player. And it could very well go deep into a fifth, I think, that match. I think what's important to note is that whilst Korda hasn't played any warm-up matches and he did have a bit of injury concern at the back end of last year, Norrie has had a warm-up event, but he's played really quite badly. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe he's actually won a match in the ATP Cup that he played in for Great Britain, and that can't be great for his confidence coming into such a tough opening round like this without the success and without the momentum behind him. And it's obviously going to be tough to carry forth what he did last year. So So I'd probably be edging towards Corda on this. And also what you said about Wimbledon. I don't think he made second week. If I remember, I think he lost to Khachanov in round three or four in what was one of the most bizarre matches I've ever watched, because the fifth set, I think there was only one hold of serve in the entire set. So it was...
Yeah, that was... I remember that match. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was truly bizarre. But anyway, Korda, class player, and definitely a tough matchup for the Brit, Cam Nori. Any thoughts, Joe?
it is an obvious one to point out as exciting for round one. We know which one of these two players is more naturally talented. Korda, by some distance. And that part of Cam Norrie's game style is largely based around hard work. It makes me think that even the slightest drop off for him could lead to a bad year. And I think off the evidence of his performances at the ATP Cup, because he was seed one, he had three tough opponents. But I think if Korda is okay and fit and stuff like that, I'd make him slight favourite as well. There is incentive for whoever wins this match. They are both of them are quite close to Djokovic in the draw. So if they win, there's a chance of going potentially quite deep.
Yes, so thank you for that, Jack. So that is an interesting first round. Would be a real shame to lose either of those two quite so early on, but there you go. Another thing, obviously, to mention on the Brit watch is obviously Liam Brody qualified, which is really lovely to have another British player in the draw. And he's got a really interesting first round against Nick Kyrgios. There's not even much point discussing kind of how that match is going to unfold, or whether Kyrgios is even going to play. So I probably won't bother handing over too much to you two on this one, but just want to keep your eyes peeled for really that Kyrgios versus Brody first round. Winner of that would have Medvedev second round. So if we do see Kyrgios, maybe he might be a little bit pumped up to get one of the bigger names, which is always something that excites him. He's not bothered about winning these events particularly, but more so just taking out the biggest scalps in the world. So maybe we might see a motivated Kyrgios or an actual performance from him, given he's pulled out of both events with COVID so far. So that will be interesting. In terms of other matches that kind of jump out, one that I mentioned earlier, one of the most informed players of the feeder events, Maxime Cressy, has John Isner first round. 6'6" Cressy against 6'11.5" John Isner. I think we're going to see a few aces there. I'd be surprised if Cressy comes through. I think the serving pedigree will really limit what Cressy's actually able to do. But I don't know. Cressy's really, really impressed me the last couple of weeks. So I don't know if any of you, or either of you, sorry, have any feelings of either of those matches that I've just kind of brought to light there. But I think Cressy versus Isner for veteran tennis fans, not for the armchair fans who enjoy long rallies and constructive points, but for people like me and Jack especially, we have a big soft spot for these servers. So give me a...
I was going to say, speak for yourself when you say this is one of the matches I'm most looking forward to. I think it's a group of about five people. But I actually think Cressy will beat him. We've got a little bit of a sample size of players who rely on their serves. Well, Opelka, basically. And he seems to be a bogey for Isner. I don't think he's beaten him. And I think they played three or four times. I think, obviously, it's not quite as an extreme gap in terms of serve and rest of the game. But I think you might see a similar story here in that Isner will struggle to break. But Cressy might have the odd game. I think he's more capable on return. I think he'll have the odd game where he will break or even just sneak the point in a tie break, as we've seen with Opelka a few times. I think I've got a theory that when we have players with serves that big, it is more slightly down to the return a little bit, which we've seen with Opelka, because obviously Isner's serve is much better than Opelka's, but Opelka is a lot better returner, for example.
Yeah, but I think Opelka is a better returner than Cressy is. I think Cressy, as I said before, is very, very slapdash, and I'm I'm not sure I can think of somebody Cressy's had to play in these opening two events who I would define as an out-and-out server. Not that jumps out to me anyway that I can remember. I think he's always had people who he's at least going to be able to get a racket on the ball. I think the position isn't as good.
Let's say he did play Opelka.
Oh, right, yeah, it was his very first one, wasn't it? Yeah, I wasn't sure about the Opelka performance there, to be honest, given it was his first match out. I do remember watching that now, actually. I don't know why I said I hadn't. But yeah, I don't think he did much on return. It'll be interesting anyway. I think you've got a very valid point there, Jack, that Isner does struggle against these other big serves. But yeah, I'm actually really excited to watch that one if it's on at a good.
Yeah, I can't say it's one I'm too excited to watch. I think usually these matches with Big does come down to a couple of points here and there. So for me, betting wise, is definitely an avoid. But from, you know, but based off form, obviously Cressy's in much better form. I've been impressed with him these last 2 weeks. Isner's been a bit underwhelming. He was good in his first match against. But that was against Schnoe, to be fair. Against Evans, I thought he wasn't great, but he still extended it to tiebreak in the second set, at least. So, yeah, onto a couple of points. And as you say, Jack, I think, you know, it will be just who can nick a point or sees more likely to do that in a tiebreak. So I think...
Interesting. So one vote for Isner and me and two votes for Cressy. Who'd have thought that was coming round about a year ago, even 6 months ago, eh? Anyway, so that's a couple of interesting matches with me, one from Luke. Anything that you really want to talk through, Jack? Anything at all? Matches, players, anything?
Yeah, so I've got one that I'm quite looking forward to. Two of my favourite players, really, which is why... one is my favourite player from a neutral's point of view, if you take the Brit factor out, and that's Diego Schwartzman against Krajinovic. You will both know that these are two of my favourite players. Krajinovic is not quite 100%. We know how good he can be when he's playing well, but I don't think he's quite there at the moment. But I just quite like the styles here. I think there'll be a lot of court craft, even though the surface is quick. I wouldn't be surprised if it went long. Schwartzman's got a habit at the Australian Open of taking early rounds long. So just from a match of quality to watch out for, and a variety of play on show, that's just one that I'd really like to watch.
Okay, yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I actually, spoiler alert, I actually think this match is good value on someone as well. I won't spoil who yet, but we'll come on to that as we go through the next part. But I completely agree. Both players quite happy to dig in, play longer rallies in the heat. We might see the match going quite deep, maybe if Krajinovic pulls out a good level. So it's an exciting one. What one I definitely will be tuning into.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it will be a good match. Worth noting, I think Krajinovic did quite well last year. I seem to remember him pushing Medvedev quite close. And I think it was the fourth round. He played really well then. But you're right, he's not in his best of form at the moment. I can't remember his results at the ATP Cup, but I don't think they're great. I think he very nearly lost to Tabilo. Lost quite comfortably to Karenia Booster, and I can't remember the other one. But I think Schwartzman should be fine here, but not wouldn't be overly surprised if it goes to four or even 5-6.
Yeah, I mean, in one way, I can see Schwartzman just making life far too difficult for him. But in another, as you say, if Krajinovic turns up and really digs in deep, uses his good variety, that match it could go the distance. Anyway, okay, so obviously we said it before, this event is without Novak Djokovic. Seed one is out before it's even started. He will be replaced by an alternate. I believe that's how this will go. But it blows the draw wide, wide open. And I think that's very much worth considering when we talk through our tournament outrights and wildcards with regards to kind of draw position, because that's so important. And that's why we've had such good success in these opening 2 weeks with our outrights. I think made a lot of profit on them just because we've really broken down where they sit in the draw. And I think that's something vitally important for any punters out there to do. Look at their quarter, look at their semi, and think, okay, do these guys have good matchups if they went that deep? Yep, it might not pan out the way you think, but that's normally a good way to do it. So before we do that, we're going to go forth and we're going to talk about our accumulators now. Now, I've gone for something quite long, really. I've gone for an eightfold today. So we're not going to start with me because I think it's highly likely that you guys will have covered a lot of the matches before I even get there. So I'm probably going to hand straight over to Jack here, if you fancy it, to maybe talk through yours.
Yeah. So my first match is Djokovic to beat Kecmanovic.
Lol.
Nice.
What's the problem with it? Don't see your issue. No, I'm joking. Right, I'll start now. My first match, I haven't done these in any particular order. They're just sort of like, as I saw them in the draw, I just ticked them off and narrowed the shortlist. I can see why you've got an eightfold, Charlie, because I think my original shortlist was like 12, and I've cut that down to 6. My first one is probably actually the one I'm least sure on taking, which is Murray to beat Basilashvili at 4-9. I don't really see fatigue being an issue for Murray. If that's a thought that has gone into your head. But I think that the 5-set format will suit him more against Basilashvili, and even 3 will. I struggle to see Basilashvili winning 3 sets against Murray if he's playing like he has this week. And I mean, I know Basil played really well against Murray, but his form is still bad. He's not won for quite a while. We don't know how much that was down to COVID at the ATP Cup or after effects of COVID or just couldn't be bothered. Can't see I blame him. Even if he wins his matches at the ATP Cup, he's not going to win anyway. So, but yeah, I think Murray will be all right here. The matchup suits. Murray's very good at absorbing pace, which Basil will give him a lot of, and his variety is. It's a matchup that's caused a problem for Basilashvili even in the last 12 months. So, yeah, I think Murray will be okay here. My second one is Pedro Martinez to beat Delbonis at 3-10. I think one's these days is a lot better on a hard court than the other. And Pedro Martinez played well here last year. I think he made round 3. He did play, you know, he didn't just make round 3. I think he was quite impressive in his making round 3. And I think
also correct me if I'm wrong here. Luke told me an interesting stat the other day. Delbonis hasn't won a hard court match for over a year now. He didn't win any of the ones he played last.
Wow.
Yeah, he won a couple at the ATP Cup, but they were against, like, who was it, Pervolarakis and
your dad,
Metrovelli or someone like that. So, but yeah, the entirety of last year, he didn't win a single hard court match out of about 10.
Wow. Okay, that just backs my point up even further. But I was going to say, I just think Martinez has got a better type of shot for these court types of surface these days. I think he's far more than a clay courter now. I think he'll be fine here. I can see him troubling Delbonis's movement as well, which is not great. I think he'll be fine here. Third match is, I mean, we're not even sure if this match will get played, but Dan Evans to beat Goffin at 1-3. Another player who doesn't really tend to tire very much or suffer after effects from a long week. I think it's a good matchup for him. Goffin won't be given much pace, which he's generally more comfortable with. And I just think the variety of Evans will be too much, especially it's been my reasoning for this has been pushed further as well, given that Goffin pulled out of his match with Murray a couple of days ago with a knee problem. So we don't even know if this match will be played. Fourth match, a player who always touch wood, tends to do well here. Martin Fucsovics to beat Lajovic at 2-5. I was quite surprised by these odds, actually. Fucsovics is really tricky, especially in slams. I think it's partially because I think he's a cardio monster. And conditions like this don't trouble him. So I think he'll be fine against Lajovic, who's not been great for a couple of years now. I think Lajovic will struggle to break him down. Can't really see him hurting Fucsovics with any shot. I'm always a bit wary of going for Fucsovics for some reason. It's an odd... you never really know what you're going to get, but I think in the Australian Open, you can kind of... You know what you're getting as much as any other point in the year with him is like this event. My fifth one, Karatsev to beat Munar. Boosted by Karatsev week this week, showing that he's back in form. I just think he'll be all right here. Just got more weaponry for the surface. While Munar is improving on these types of surface, I don't think he's, again, has got much to match Karatsev as long as he's playing well. I think he's made the semis last year, so he's obviously comfortable on the quicker surfaces.
Worth bearing in mind here as well that Karatsev and Munar faced off in the US Open last year. So last Grand Slam that was played, actually, they played. Karatsev could not have really put out much of a worse performance, but still won in four. So that further backs up.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised by the odds here, actually. I could have easily have seen this be a 1-8 type job. Was quite surprised to see it as still reasonably lightly odds, but fairly decent. And my final match is Felix Auger-Aliassime to beat Rusuvori. I trust Felix now in slams. I think he's if this match was a 250 final, I'm only betting one way, but I think Felix will be fine here. I don't have any worries about him being troubled by hot conditions, which you've always got to be careful with at the Australian Open. And again, Rusuvori's not really had a breakout win yet against a top player. Don't really think he's got the game style to be troubling these players yet, as long as Felix is functioning. I think he's just too easy to break down by the top players. And then this is another one which is in here because I was surprised by the odds, to be honest. I thought it'd be sort of not extreme, but I thought it'd be maybe 1-4 over five sets. I think Felix will be fine here. And that's it. And that's at 5.3-1.
Very nice. Yep. So that's a really nice sixfold. And I was definitely right to obviously leave my eightfold last because the vast majority of mine overlapped of yours there, Jack, which is always a promising sign when we're talking about is there value out there in these opening rounds. So, Luke, I think you have maybe a slightly more modest fourfold. Is that right?
It's been increased to fivefold, actually. I'll just have a couple of queries with Jack.
Yes, sorry. I have decided to go for Felix and I've lost the handicap. So I will get that for you and you can start with your picks.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of other things. With Murray, I don't really know how you can say fitness won't be an issue given all his problems he's had recently. I'm pretty sure he's playing on Monday as well, so he's only going to have one day recovery when he's played five matches this week. Also, but Pascal Philippe was really good. Obviously, Murray was as well. But for me, that's an avoid. I think Murray will win, but not one I would touch.
Just because I'm actually not picking that in my accumulator, I will just offer my thoughts here. I agree with you, Luke. I think the body could be an issue if he goes deep with Karatsev. I don't think it's going to be a reason for winning or losing the match. I completely do agree, however, with what Jack said. The best of five format, Basilashvili's game style, it's great for kind of bludgeoning your way through a best of three set match. I think he's going to really, really struggle to deliver that higher quality across five sets. Murray almost did what I would expect him to do in five sets in three this week, which is just absorb, absorb, absorb. And then once he finally gets his opportunities, take the most of them and win it in three. And I think over five, that becomes even more distinct, really. So I do think Murray is value there, I have to say. But I do agree with you, Luke. Big question mark over where's his hip going to be after this week.
Yeah, can I just chip in? It's a fair point. Sorry, I didn't really think about that, actually, which is probably a good thing to think that we're not really thinking about his injury problems. I was thinking more of a cardio point of view. I don't really think he'll have any difficulties. But yeah, completely legitimate point about injuries. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and the other one is in a similar vein. Karatsev against Munar. I agree with you, Charlie. I watched that match. Karatsev was horrendous, but still managed to come away with the win in thought, as you said. But again, I'm just concerned with fitness. You know, he's just recovered from COVID. I think he said he didn't really have many symptoms, but still, you never know. And again, he's playing the Saturday, so tomorrow, and he's playing on the Monday, so only a day off, which isn't a lot. The Evans match was, I'll talk about it a bit more later, but it was pretty brutal. It was over 3 hours, a lot of long rallies. I think the Murray match could be quite long tomorrow morning as well. So for that reason, I've left him out. But otherwise, I would say, what I can't remember what you said, 2-7 or something like that is a good price there. So I'll move on to my accumulator. We overlapped on a couple. Evans to beat Goffin 1-3. You're right. It may well not happen, considering Goffin spent a lot of last year out because of injury and struggling for form as a result. And then he's withdrawn in the quarters after a set against Murray. But Evans, he's just been... I waxed lyrical about him on the last podcast, but he's kept up that great form. Was just a class better against Pedro Martinez. Played very well against Cressy as well, someone who's in great form. And then the Karatsev match was the best I've seen this year. I mean, Karatsev was phenomenal, and as was Evans. I mean, some of the rallies were just crazy. And, you know, they're both so entertaining to watch that I thoroughly enjoyed that match, despite sadly losing money because I had Evans outright. But we'll move on. Evans, he plays on Tuesday, so I have 3 days off, so I'm not concerned about fitness there. Whereas, obviously, fitness is definitely a concern for Goffin at the moment. I think in terms of matchup, Goffin he's a counterpuncher. He's someone who quite likes pace and rhythm, which Evans isn't really going to give him. And yeah, I mean, if you look at the head to head as well, they played 2 years ago at the ATP Cup in similar conditions. Evans won 6-4, 6-4, and that was when Goffin had no injury problems to speak of. And then last year in Monte Carlo on the clay, Evans' worst surface. He managed to beat him from a set down in three. So I think 1-3 is decent value. If it's void, then it's void. I've also gone for Ozhe Aliassime. Like you, I was quite surprised by this price, 2-5. He really impressed me in the ATP Cup, got some great wins, beat Zverev, Bautista Agut, beat Norrie as well. I can't remember if he beat Felix. I think he lost, actually. But I think it's quite a decent matchup for him. Rusevori's similar game style. He's quite aggressive. Neither of them have much variety. So I think Felix is going to get the balls that he wants, where he can, you know, hit his aggressive, heavy ground strokes. I just don't think Rusevori's going to be able to cope with that. So I think that's fairly solid at 2-5. Next one is Riley Opelka to beat Kevin Anderson at 4-9. The only match Anderson has played this year was against Munar, and he was really poor. He lost 4-4, I think. Opelka, as you alluded to earlier, was also pretty poor, I thought, against Cressy. But this week he's found some form. He battered Thompson. He broke his serve three times, And a good win against Nakashima as well. He's been playing really well, I think. And he broke his serve twice in the second set. And lost quite a tight one to Andy Murray in the semis. So it shows that he's playing well. This, again, like the Cressy, isn't it? There's not going to be many breaks here. But Opelka is definitely the better server. So especially the way he's been serving, Anderson's not going to get many looks because he's not a great returner. Whereas Anderson serves slightly weaker, and I think Opelka will get some looks to break. And he's better at hanging in the points as well than Anderson. Anderson was really erratic, I thought, against Munar. So I think at 4-9, that's not bad. Next one, I have gone for Christian Garin to beat Facundo Bagnis at 4-7. Again, I watched Garin in the ITP Cup, and I was quite impressed. Given that I didn't really rate him on a hard court, but he served well, which is a big thing for him. I think his serve's very underrated. And he did well to hang in the point, to extend the rallies and keep good depth. And Rude did come through, but he had some problems there. Bagnis is nowhere near the kind of caliber of player as Rude. He's a clay specialist like Garin, but I just think Garin's game translates a bit better over to hard because Bagnis is heavy lefty forehand, just doesn't. It's not as effective as it is on the clay than it is on these slick hard courts. And Garin, he's at this level on a hard court. As I said, he's serving well. I don't think he's going to be troubled too much on serve. And I think he's just going to extend the rallies and draw errors from Bagnis. And that's all that needs to be said about that. And then the final one I've gone for is Jiří Veselý to beat Stefan Kozlov at 4-7. Veselý was pretty poor last year. He was affected by injuries for the majority. However, he started this year in promising fashion. Lost to Tommy Paul in three close sets last week. Came through qualies this week. Beat Pui and Kudler, both in straights. And I watched him against Nakashima. I thought he was really good. He served great. He didn't give Nakashima a look, really, at breaking. Forehand was on fire. His backhand as well was really steady. He didn't take very big swings. But he's just good at, redirecting the ball and putting it in tough spots. And I think that's going to serve him well here on these courts. Kozlov is a challenger player, really. He's a very aggressive player, nuclear forehand, but he's quite erratic. So he's not going to extend the rallies like Nakashima did. And I can't really see Veselý getting broken too often. And I think Veselý, he'll be better at dictating the points with his very heavy lefty forehand. And coming into the net, he's very capable as well. He's got decent hands. So I think that's a solid shout of 4-7. He's also my tips to pass of the week. So for that, I've gone Veselý in 3-0 or 3-1, which comes in at exactly evens. So just Veselý to win, not in five sets, basically. That's what that means. I'll just recap quickly. So I've got Evans to beat Goffran at 1-3. Ogier Aliassime to beat Rusevori at 2-5. Opelka to beat Anderson at 4-9. Garin to beat Bagnis at 4-7. And Veselý to beat Kozlov at 4-7. And those, the total of that is 5.66-1.
Okay, thank you, Luke. Just to clarify as well, you might also see that Tipsy Pass quoted as a set handicap minus 1.5. That's another way of kind of saying that. I like all of that, other than Anderson Opelka, which I can't believe you've touched. That match has recipe for disaster written all over it. But we'll look past that. I can see the logic. I'll just really go over mine nice and fast because there's not much point in me adding all that much more. I've got Felix to beat Rusevori 2-5 for exactly the reasons you've said. Great start to the year. Fantastically booming forehands. Really good on serve. Not serving all that many double faults either. Big wins. Beat Zverev. Beat Batista Agu in the final. at the Interbee Cup. Tremendous start to the year. He's going to beat Rui Savori, who does not have the weaponry to hurt him. Karatsev, 2-7 to beat Munyar. Even at his worst last year, was good enough. Munyar's developed a little bit since then, but Karatsev appears to be in good form. Very, very strong, powerful ground strokes, especially off the backhand wing. Munyar's going to give him lots of opportunities to attack. And the differential on serve is clear for all to see. 2-7 value on Karatsev. I've got Dan Evans to beat Goffin, 1-3. If it goes ahead, as you've said, Dan Evans doesn't give Goffin the type of balls he'd want. Goffin wants pace so he can redirect and counterpunch. Evans mixes up spins and, to be honest, similar-ish game style, I suppose, to Goffin, but at the moment, definitely in better form. 1-3, therefore. I've gone a little bit off track here now. I've got Diego Schwartzman to beat Filip Krajinovic at 2-7. We spoke about it earlier. I do just think that if Schwartzman plays his best level, it's better than Krajinovic's for a start. They're both very good at sort of elongating rallies. I think Schwartzman is better than that, than Krajinovic. I don't think the Krajinovic potential slice that he possesses is going to be too much of a problem for Schwartzman either. Lack of a serve for Schwartzman might be, but I just think, especially given the level that I'm expecting to see from Krajinovic, I think Schwartzman will have far too much. I've got Hugo Humbert to beat Richard Gasquet at 2-7. Baffin, a Frenchman. Quite honestly, Humbert's a class above Gasquet these days, especially on these kind of really, really fast kind of hard courts where Gasquet doesn't have the ability to kind of wind up on them and to kind of get his feet into position. I think he's going to struggle. There's a half chance for Gasquet pulls out as well, actually, just given his current injury status. Especially even if it goes past kind of, I think Gasquet basically has to win it in straights if he's going to win. I think Humbert will make it far too physical past that point. And Gasquet, yep, he's the enigmatic Frenchman. He's got great touch, great feel. You can't use that on these kind of lively courts quite so much. And I think that kind of strong lefty game and heavy forehand that Humbert possesses will be too much. So 2-7 there. I've got Berrettini to beat Nakashima at 2-5. It's a bit dangerous, this one, I must say, on reflection. But I do think the class that Berrettini has is one up on Nakashima. I think that if Berrettini can nullify the points on that kind of backhand side, so slicing the ball deep and then getting that big forehand into play, I think his weaponry is far too much for a kind of, I would call him a defensive baseliner in Nakashima. I've got Carlos Alcaraz to beat Alejandro Tabio at 1-4. Tabio had a great ATP Cup, actually looked really good in my opinion. Only came out with one win though, and that's the difference. His quality against the better players just is not strong enough. Carlos Alcaraz, probably the most improved player of last year. One of the youngsters to watch, almost certainly going to win a slam in his career, I would say. He hits big off every shot. Only real hole is his serve. But if we're talking about an opposition who's going to give him chances to break, he's got that in Tabio. So I think 1-4 on Alcaraz is actually really good value. And despite his struggles against Soonwoo Kwon, I've got Lloyd Harris to beat Alexander Vukic at 2-5. Across five sets, the serve is the big difference here. Harris will have lots of looks at the Vukic serve. I don't think Vukic will have all too many against Harris. Kwon, that loss he had, despite having match points, Kwon is a far better returner than Vukic is. And I think that's the difference there. Vukic doesn't have the serve that rivals Harris, but equally doesn't have the serve, the return, sorry, that the likes of Kwon has to trouble him on serve. I think Harris at 2-5 there is pretty good. And therefore the eight gold of Harris to beat Vukic, Alcaraz to beat Tabio, Berrettini to beat Nakashima, Evans to beat Goffin, Schwartzman to beat Krajinovic, Aliassime to beat Rui Savori, Karatsev to beat Munyar, and Humbert to beat Gasquet comes in at 8.71-1. So a big old chunk of matches there. But I like the look of most of those. So that's obviously my accumulator there. My tipsy pass of the week, given that we sort of go through that as well, is I've touched on the Alcaraz match and why I don't think that's going to lose. I've gone for Alcaraz in straights, 3-love. It actually comes in at 6-5. But we'll call it for as good as evens as far as the tips pass is concerned. So that's my selections there. Whilst we're here, might as well just roll on and talk about my outrights, because they're not anything particularly kind of dazzling, I don't think. My outright is Zverev, as I picked in our sort of pre-season podcast. Zverev, minus that one match at the ATP Cup, actually, against Felix, he's been near enough flawless for the last 3, 4, 5 months or so. His serve yips appear to have gone. His quality performances are really coming through. He is strong off every single shot. Only real problem is his ability to come forwards, but I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem in a singles entity. Quite frankly, I just think on his day, his ceiling is higher than anyone else. So if he holds it together, 3-1 is a great price for Zverev to win the event. Not much more needs to be said there. My wild card is Rafael Nadal. I can't believe I'm saying that as a wild card. 7-1. Not particularly exciting. There's plenty bigger odds out there. I looked at Tsitsipas at 20-1. But Nadal, I think it's very easy to overlook his class. He's won an event without looking good in the feeder events. Didn't drop a set. And I don't think he played anything higher than a 4 or 5 out of 10 that week. He's going to be fairly well safeguarded because of his seed up until kind of the quarters or the semis. By which point, does he have the class to beat kind of Zverev and Medvedev? No, not if they're playing at their best. No, he doesn't. But if their level isn't great, Nadal is quality enough to exploit anybody. Terrific foot speed means that even though it's a fast court, he's still able to get there and make balls. His tremendous IQ means that over 5 sets, he is a tough man to beat. Beat, obviously, Medvedev at the US not long ago in the final. He's won slams on hard courts. He knows what he's doing, this guy. So it's an interesting one. 7-1, I think, might be good value, especially if you go each way. He's only got to win one or two really big matches to get that to come in. So worth a look. And that is my outright and my wild card there. So that's over from me. Perhaps, Jack, if you want to give us your tips, pass, and maybe follow on with your thoughts and feelers as to your outright.
Yes. Tipsy pass, sorry, I've got the name of it for a second, is Felix minus 1.5 sets, 8-13, the odds on that are. So a bit lower than, or a bit safer than what I've gone for in previous. But I didn't really like the game handicaps they're offering, which is why I've gone there. My outright is now the tournament favourite, Daniil Medvedev, 6-4. Going to go for a cheap jibe here and say I don't fancy backing a player who still hasn't got a top 10 win in a slam. But I think Medvedev's just a favourite for this. Perfect conditions for him.
You are a pig. You're a pig and I hate you.
I think it's just perfect conditions for Medvedev. The worry with him is always the heat. He's shown problems with it in the past, but just when you look at the other names in the draw, I think he is the clear favourite on this sort of surface. Now has also got the experience of winning a slam, and unlike Dominic Thiem, does not appear to have any problems with trying to win another one. I think I've got to go for him really. But Zverev is fine. I don't see any reason why he couldn't win this week if he stays out of his own head. The argument with him is always that he should win this week when there's no one like Djokovic in there, because he does arguably have the highest ceiling. My wild card is odds based, really. It's not a player that I'd have taken, but the odds of it I thought were ridiculous given he's got a bit of a knack of going deep at these sort of events. And that's Hubert Hurkacz at 80-1, which I thought was mental when you've got people like Sinner at 20 and Alcaraz at 33. If you gave me both the same odds, I'm going to go for Sinner over Hurkacz, but I just thought 80-1 is ludicrous. someone who actually has got experience of winning on the biggest stage in the Masters final. He's made the Wimbledon semis. Yeah, and I think again conditions suit him quite well here. He's a predominantly a counterpuncher with good fitness, so I think he'll be fine in these conditions with the big serve as well, which of course will be really, really effective in these conditions. So I don't expect this to win, but I think it's far more likely than the odds suggest. So yeah, really, really surprised at those odds. Am I done? Is that it?
Yeah, no, that's all from you. Thank you, Jack. So I get you outright. I think the odds stink. 6-4.
They do, yeah, favorite. You are right.
Yeah. Ouch. Meanwhile, Ben on the other side of it, great value for Hercash, I think. I mean, he's not going to win, put it this way. You've just lost the podcaster unit, but that is great value considering he's going to go deep. He's going to go second week, I think, for sure. But yeah, not beyond the realms of possibility. So thank you, and over to you, Luke, to kind of finish us off.
Yeah, I mean the one thing I will say with Hercash is he's got his draw's not great. He's got Karatsev round three. It's going to assuming they both get there, and then if he wins that, he's got Nadal or Khachanov, which kind of ties in with my point about Nadal as well. His draw's not great. It's not the case where he just has to win, you know, one or two big matches. He's got to win quite a few to make the final. And as you said, I just wasn't that impressed with him last week. I just don't think his level's going to be where it needs to be to go all the way. Yeah. So, as you said, the odds on Medvedev stink, which is why I didn't go for him. So I've gone for Zverev at 3-1. He wasn't great against Felix, but he still beat Fritz and Norrie in straights, I'm pretty sure. So he has some sort of form coming in. And his draw is pretty kind, I think. I'm just trying to find it now. Yeah, it's all right. It's Harris in round three, but I think he'll play his way in. And he's an incredibly consistent performer at the Slams these days. Especially the non-grass ones. I mean, last year he made semis of Aussie Open, lost to Djokovic. French made semis, lost to Tsitsipas, and US Open he made semis, lost to Djokovic again. So, incredibly consistent. And assuming Djokovic doesn't play, then I think the path is clear for him to make the final. And in terms of my wild card. Now, I wanted to pick this guy to win his quarter because I think his quarter is incredibly open, but I couldn't find the odds. So I've gone with him to win the whole thing, which I don't think he will, but I think he's got a great chance of going deep. So in this open quarter is quarter three, I think it is. So one with Tsitsipas in it, who's not playing his best at the moment. And Rude, those are the top two seeds. You've also got the likes of Sinner, who's got a good chance there. Who else? Andy Murray lurking in that quarter as well. Taylor Fritz, maybe even Dimitrov if he finds some form. But the name I've gone for, someone who's very experienced at slams, someone who's made a slam semi before, and someone who's got good form as well. That man is Roberto Bautista Agut at a mind-boggling 100-1. So yeah, those are my selections.
I really like Bautista Agut. I think that's a good pick. He is the kind of guy who could just somehow stumble his way through a quarter like that without doing anything seemingly spectacular, which is his entire career in a nutshell. So thank you for that. And obviously we agree on the Zverev, which at least saves the podcast from hedging another unit somewhere else as well. So obviously that's your Aussie Open first week of the Slam. You've got to enjoy it because these are the exciting ones. I love the first week of a Slam, probably more than I like the second week, to be honest. I think some of these first round encounters where you get the qualifiers fighting for their lives can be really exciting to watch. But we'll leave it there as far as the Clutch Tennis Podcast is for this first week. So thank you, Jack, and thank you, Luke, for joining me today.
Thank you, Charlie.
And as always, follow at Serving Up Clutch on the Twitter. That's where you get access to all our free articles, which is obviously where lots of our value last week came from. You can access them directly on www.servingupclutch.com as well. But otherwise, yep, follow us on Twitter, get our socials, and I'll be with you halfway through the Aussie Open for a bit of an update. So thank you very much, and goodbye.